eBay Motors es tu socio seguro. Con trabajo, piezas nuevas y mucha pasión, transformaste una carrocería oxidada con 100,000 millas en un vehículo totalmente singular. Juegos de frenos, faros, lo que necesites, eBay Motors lo tiene. Con Guaranteed Fit de eBay, te aseguras que la pieza le quede a tu carro a la primera o se te devuelve tu dinero. Y a estos precios, quemas llantas y no dinero. Mantén vivo ese espíritu de Ride or Die, baby, en eBay Motors. eBayMotors.com. Solo para artículos elegibles. Se aplican restricciones.
You are now listening to Get Your Ash with Cornelius and McGee.
Get Your Ash. Cornelius is not here with us today, but I'm still McGee.
Timmy Nebraska. I'm still Nebraska.
Timmy Nebraska's still here because he don't stop surviving. And Connor's here too.
Hello.
And we even again without Neil, we're still going to start at the same place. And the question is,
what are we smoking today, my friend?
Well done. Well done.
It's like I've heard it once or twice.
We've all been around this bitch.
Today we are smoking the Romeo y Julieta 1875 Connecticut. Nicaragua.
1875
Connecticut, Nicaragua.
It's aged.
I imagine 1875 has something to do with what year the company began in Cuba before it got nationalized, and it, or maybe what year Nicaragua became a country. I have no idea.
Yeah, they usually have something to like tie in with independence, like you said, or like,
yeah,
like
there's 1942 usually a story
with Don Julio, you know?
Yeah. What's the story for 1942?
Well, I'm not entirely sure, but I mean, like, that tequila's not 42 years age. That's like, that true. Would be terrible.
Your math's
like,
horrible. Dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's not.
68 plus 21.
No, carry well, I'm not saying
85.
That.
I get it. So
I'm actually curious about that story, too, now.
Well, yeah.
I drink Don Julio a lot, usually just Reposado, but 1942 is awesome. But, like, I don't know the story behind why it's called that, actually.
So, I think it would probably have to be something with, like, 42 is when the year it was found or something.
How about...
Like,
I'll look that shit up.
How about we say, if people tune in to this week's Nebraska Hour, you will have the story behind 1942.
I will have the story behind 1942.
I'm totally interested in that, too. Yeah,
we might even be drinking some 1942. Who knows?
Perfect. I love it.
Let's see if we hit a better
I had a good day on the Dodgers anyway.
Yeah.
I might buy... Connor and I have ball 42.
There you go.
Anyway,
because
also shout out to Mookie Betts.
Also, we recognize the Dodgers won the World Series. Yes, we're very happy because several of us in this room had some money involved.
Yeah,
and that's also something you'll save that for the Nebraska
for
hour,
sure. But
huge Dodgers.
Just
fan.
A heads up though, if you are, they're not going to get to tomorrow, but. You can go get a free taco from Taco Bell for a stolen base.
I thought it was today.
It is today. But
was today.
It is, yeah, it was
so
today.
Nobody's going to
do
this.
But no, but you can actually go do it still tomorrow, too.
All right. Okay. Good to know.
If you do Grubhub, you can order your free stolen base taco.
So if you're listening on a Thursday, on the day this episode
stolen
drops,
base taco.
Go to the Taco Hell and have a taco.
It's all terrible, right. But it's still cool.
So what we are smoking today is the Romeo y Julieta 1875 Connecticut Nicaragua. And it's a pretty unique cigar. And the reason so is it has like the standard creaminess of the Connecticut wrapper. But there's a complexity, like a richness to the shade leaf on the inside that is grown in Nicaragua in the black volcanic ash type soil that is throughout there. So in general, Nicaraguan tobacco has a more just kind of a richer flavor because of that volcanic ash. And so the combination of the Connecticut leaf outer wrapper with the Nicaraguan grown richer tobacco on the inner the shade wrapper and filler is not always it's not something that's usually connected, you know, not combined. And this was really kind of a really like an adventurous cigar. And it's also kind of famous because it was made by some very big names in the business. It was blended by Rafael Nodal, who's just a very famous, you know, tobacco blender who's done blends for lots of different brands.
Or a tennis player.
No, that's Nodal. This is Nodal.
I'm just fucking around. Yeah.
And then, he did this cigar with tobacco all grown by the Plasencia family, Nestor Plasencia in Nicaragua. And they are like the biggest name in tobacco. Like 60% of the tobacco used in cigars upstairs in the humidor are grown by the Plasencia family.
That's what's up.
I did not know that.
They do a lot of tobacco that they just grow for other brands. And then over the last, I want to say 15 years, they put out some of their own Plasencia cigars. But
it's delicious.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's
smooth.
I just lit it up and it's
nice. It kind of reminds me, like, if you compare it to like a beer, like in the categories, it's almost like a blonde type thing as well. Super smooth. When you say like the volcanic ash too, you think like that would be harsher.
It definitely makes for a more complex taste. It's not like boring like some Connecticut's can be, but it still has that kind of creamy node to it. You know, it really does. It's smooth. It would go great with a cup of coffee, I think.
The Connecticut thing is like usually something I like because it's like not too harsh.
Right.
But this is sometimes you get like ones that are like kind of like blandish. This is, I'm not a big cigar guy still.
Right.
You know, after like 2 years doing this with you guys, I'm still not a big cigar guy. This is good. This is good already.
Yeah.
It's a good flavor.
So
sure.
we'll bring it up again at the end of the podcast and talk about some things.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, like, it's like with the tequila too as well, like, segueing back to that, like, tequila, to be tequila, it has to be made with, like, volcanic ash around it as well, like, to be like mezcal, like, from a certain region, you know? And it makes it smoother. Mezcal is the jam. But yeah, it makes it smoother. It kind of like definitely gives it more complexity, but I think it almost takes away some of the bite.
It doesn't have like the classic, like when we describe cigars, most time when you guys read the cigar like flavor list, the like woody flavor is like something I think is weird. Kind of
leathery.
It doesn't have that that like woody flavor. It's more of like a creamy a vanilla-y, like coffee kind of a blendish flavor.
Yeah,
instead.
I think coffee's a good call.
It
changes between the beginning and the end, obviously, a little bit.
I imagine it'll kind of blend together as we smoke.
I dig it. No, I dig it already.
Usually when it says, like, woody or oaky, I just kind of, and I don't know if it's in my mind or in my taste buds, but I just kind of go to, like, a campfire.
Yeah, I would say the same thing, too, as well. It took me a while to break off of that with, like, bourbon and tasting and stuff like that. To be like, oaky does not mean smoky oak, you know, doesn't mean like that bonfire. That's a good
one.
That's
of
good
the things
call.
Though also is because of some of the cigars we've had in the past that have like this like woody whatever flavor to it, like the smell of like a good like cedar cigar like box is something that I love a lot. And sometimes you get like that cedary taste is awesome.
Yeah.
And as a rookie cigar smoker, admittedly, rookie, I don't even finish most of them that we smoke here.
Yeah, I know.
I some of them I crush easy. But the ones that are like the more like the woody, like harsher flavor, I don't really finish all of them. But the cedar flavor, as far as the wood comparison, is something that I like a lot. And this is something that's kind of a mild favorite. I dig it already.
I really in between. Yeah,
your palate's awesome. Really developed over your visit.
You guys taught me a lot, though. You really have. I mean, I didn't do this before, ever.
I like, smoked a lot of cigars, and I would taste different things, but I didn't have the vocabulary to, like, discuss it until I started doing this podcast.
Yeah, so
every week I'd be talking
thing.
To Neil, and I'd start reading magazines and stuff like that about it and kind of learn the terminology. But a lot of it, I was already beginning to notice the differences. I just didn't know what those differences were.
So some of the thing is, like, so the description of cigars is very similar a lot of times. And now, after being on your guys' show a lot of times, the description is the same for a lot of cigars, but not going to pick up which one is stronger.
Yeah.
Now, which flavor is the strongest of the description?
Yeah.
Whether it's like more vanilla, there's more oaky, where there's more like a wood flavor, you know, like a wood flavor or whatever. And I mean, I still don't finish all
the cigar.
But I pick up more of the palate for sure. I've learned a lot from you guys. I really
with the palate though, and identifying, like, people think it's like an inherent like trait that you should have. You have to learn that. Like, from my old sommelier at my restaurants, one of the guys taught me how to bartend, and like everything I know about spirits, shout out Petrovsky, my guy. But like, so he would start us off, and like, you know, I would be like, he's like, what do you taste? Like, I taste fucking grapes, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's all I taste. And then he'll be like, okay, but like, what are we getting down to the core of it as well? And now I could, like, you could identify it's more the other earthy. Combos. Yeah. And you could really get out, like, you really pull out. And it definitely is, it's like, it's an acquired taste. Like, you're going to have to develop it. You have to recognize it.
So I kind of compare the cigar thing now to identifying like weed strains also.
Sure.
Because like, you know, there's certain strains that have different kind of flavors.
Yeah, terpenes of it as well.
To go back to what you were saying in the culinary world, like that's the difference between somebody who drinks a lot of wine and a wine sommelier.
Yeah.
Right? Or like a sommelier.
Sommelier, yeah.
Pardon me. Or like a cheese sommelier, or anybody that's developed their palate.
Or a guy who runs a rickhouse at a bourbon place. That guy can tell you like 12-year, 10-year, this barrel, this part of the rickhouse. How the hell are you gonna tell me from humidity and stuff?
Yeah. My homegirl in New Orleans, Katie, she is a wine sommelier, and also she has the like bat with the metal for the whiskey. In Scotland.
Shout out to Katie.
Oh yeah,
I forget what it's called.
I know what you're talking about, though, yeah. But like,
she's like the whiskey ambassador or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
It's just like, we had this conversation, 2 weeks ago when we were drinking the bourbon whiskey from Black Button Distilling. Where we were talking about what makes something a bourbon, a whiskey, a scotch. Yeah,
yeah. And like,
just like you were saying, the difference between mezcal and tequila is conditions and it's prepared.
Oh, and like, it's cool. I mean, Connor's obviously very knowledgeable about what the difference is.
Yeah, it's great.
It's cool.
Whenever I have an alcohol question, I call him.
Usually when I have questions, I call you.
Smart. I know a lot of shit. A lot of like random shit that I don't even need to have.
If I
have a
question about some nonsense or I need advice, I call Greg because he's the advice guy.
I do give good advice. Always have. Always
if you want to talk about... very sure of himself in the advice.
Oh, he is.
He is very confident.
I know in his advice.
I know. I'm right. You know, that those are the words you hear.
You like his own like decisions, maybe he's not but he's like the best teacher ever. I don't. Maybe I can't do it myself, but I'll tell you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the man of that.
Those who
he's
can't do, teach.
But I did.
Boy, Tim. I can't dunk, but I can tell you how to dunk.
I can tell you. I got to tell you to jump higher, you know?
Jump stop, 2 feet.
Crams. Baby, cram.
Just get up.
Hold the ball hard, cram, man.
So if you want to hear, like, of all these cigar terms and stuff.
It's like Bugsy Boak should have a job right now.
But if you want to hear, like, how, like, people talk about, like, you know, you hear like wood and cedar and a lot of these common cigars. Shit gets really weird and unique when you get down to like the wine tasting.
There's an
awesome documentary. It's called Somm on Hulu. And it's about these guys like going to be their master sommelier. To be a master sommelier, you have to pick up a glass of wine off of smell and taste. Tell me what varietal it is, what year it is, where it was grown, and all this shit as well.
It's incredible.
It's absurd, but the words they use to describe them are fucking hilarious. Like, they'll be sitting here, they'll be like, it smells like,
my wet shoe.
It's like beachy sunscreen. He's just like, this guy loves his term in there. He's like, it's like a fresh open container of tennis balls. And the guy, they fucking love it, dude. And all the guys around him, he's the best one. And like, he's shitting on him. He's like the wine geek. All the guys around him, like, fuck this guy. And he's like, hey, the tennis ball thing really worked out there, didn't you?
God, I hate this motherfucker right now.
Even if you don't like wine, it's
funny. That's hilarious. Funny. That's
they
so
just
funny.
Go on tangent.
I don't love it.
They kind of make sense, though, man, because, you know, it's like the idea of being that well versed in describing a flavor of several hundred kinds of wine or whatever is insane to me, man. Yeah. Like, it's insane to me. Like, when Katie could tell me what year this, like, weird fucking whiskey is from, how long it's aged, like, where it's made, without even knowing at all, I'm just like, that's incredible, actually. And, like, you're crazy.
I'll take last year's Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I was like, I'll just take whatever you had.
That mash whiskey.
Give me a shot of booze. I'm happy. You know, like, what the fuck ever, you know?
Mash whiskey ain't never going to change. It's like the. It's the safe. It's a staple.
Delicious. All right. You survived again?
I did, man. I survived again. The Bills. Bills crush.
They got by without a touchdown, though, right?
Literally won the game.
Any fucking time to pick up, it's right then.
Dude, they played the damn Jets, though, man. Like,
the goddamn New York Jets.
They won the goddamn Jets. Touchdown. That's like a Big Daddy reference for sure. The goddamn Jets. But it was a pretty easy win.
There you go. That's the goal, is to have easy win after easy win.
It literally is the best to take the Bills because their schedule from here on out is pretty hard.
Yeah, it's a brutal schedule all year long.
So that's a good time to... The reason why I was waiting for this long...
They may have peaked early.
Yeah, Josh Allen, like, he started off hot as hell.
Right? It was a great four games or something.
Oh, man. Y'all sleeping on him.
Top two?
Y'all sleeping on him.
I mean, I just don't know if he has the finishing power.
I have a feeling that he'll bounce back.
Y'all sleeping on him. Hey, y'all sleeping on Josh Allen right now.
Hey, I still have him starting for my own team.
But I'm the 39ers.
But I'm considering Carson Wentz.
The Bills are really good, man.
We'll get to them. All right? We'll get to them. Let's start. First off, let's start with a rundown of who you've already taken. The Bears, the Colts, the Titans, the Ravens, the Texans, the Dolphins, and the Bills.
I love the fact that you went for the Bears week one.
Dude,
get them out the way and like
talk about another team that's started strong.
Man, okay. Also, I was telling Greg for days before week one about how the Bears are going to win that game and how like that's the best bet of the week. It was a damn miracle.
He did. Yeah. He did say all that.
They were down 23-6. Miracle win. In the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was a miracle win.
And we, got Big Dick Nick in there and took care of him.
No, it wasn't.
That was week one.
So, like, came back. But the deal is, though, like, statistically, there's the stat website. I forget what it's called right at the moment. But they used to do, like the analytics of the best quarters. But they'll do that for, like, 10 years or so.
Okay.
And statistically, the Bears' fourth quarter against the Lions week one is the best ever fourth quarter.
Ever?
Ever.
Oh,
They were down 17, right?
Yeah.
23-6
yeah.
to 17.
Yeah.
And they won 27-23.
It was.
It's the best ever analytics wise.
It was just amazing to watch.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
So good.
I was in Vegas that weekend, and I stopped watching the game. But there's this dude that had an Urlacher jersey on that was going fucking wild, and I was like, "What the hell happened?" And then I was like, "Holy shit, they're gonna damn win!
They're gonna get it!"
Insane win.
So, we'll talk about them in a minute.
They have
a game this weekend, right? They're not on a bye.
They have a game this week. In week one, my guy Greg here took the Colts. Yikes!
It was a bad decision. Dude.
Rubbing it in. Yeah. Timmy Runga just rubbing it in every which way he can.
Suddenly.
Oh, you didn't bet $500 on black? I guess who did?
Yeah.
And I bink that shit.
Suddenly he's Timmy Tosh.
I usually don't do that with Greg, but like, come on, the Colts week one.
You had to stop off at the beer garden before here.
Made up for everything this past Sunday. Had a very good day.
That's awesome. Yeah, hell yeah.
Their defense is phenomenal. I'm really killing it this time.
Let's do it. Let's get into this. All right. The Thursday night game, you've already taken the Ravens, so you're not going to be able to take them. But the Thursday night game is the Steelers at Ravens. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not the Thursday night game.
No.
The Thursday night game is the Eagles or the Falcons and Panthers. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Falcons at Panthers. All right. I'm seeing 2.5. Falcons plus 2.5. Panthers minus 2.5 at home.
I think the line is wrong.
I think the line's wrong.
I'm stop.
Lions? You mean
the line?
The line. Oh, the line is wrong.
You think the Falcons are gonna?
I think the Falcons.
I wouldn't touch it in the Survivor League at all. But
I wouldn't either.
You probably won't.
But the idea is that the game one, you have a leaderboard.
Yeah.
And like
the Panthers, the Panthers have been surprising me all year. I didn't expect them to kind of fall in line with the new you know, coaching and the new approach and everything.
I think
Bridgewater's playing great, and
I think that you
Christian McCaffrey might be coming back this week. Maybe next week.
Yeah, they'll probably let it go.
I think that you are giving the Panthers credit when you shouldn't. Like the Texans. I mean, we like give the Texans a pass because their like schedule is brutal, right? The Panthers are not good.
They kept the close against the Saints last week.
The Saints don't look that good either.
Yeah, we'll talk about them.
You're right.
But
I'm glad Panthers, I have the seven.
But the
and
Panthers kind of the Panthers kind of have had an easy schedule so far.
All right. You're the survivor. I'm not. Yeah, so
I like the Falcons, man. I do. I like the Falcons.
That's wild because I haven't seen anything. The Falcons
are like weirdly going to be a lot better than people think.
I haven't seen anything out of the Falcons.
I see him finishing better, obviously. But I see him finishing actually stronger.
Can't finish much worse.
I mean, it sounds crazy. It does. Right. I get it.
Let's move on to Sunday. Right now, you got Atlanta Falcons as the leader in the clubhouse.
I will keep that. I'm sure.
Sunday, we'll start with the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. Patriots are +3.5. You've already taken the Bills, obviously, last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Are Patriots even an option for you?
I just wouldn't do this. There's a better move for the Patriots later on anyway. And this is not a good spot to take the Patriots.
Especially after
they're
last
not going to beat the Bills.
Last
2 or 3 weeks. I don't think it's a time you want to let them get a blowout underneath their belt. Yeah. Let Cam get 300, maybe 100 rushing or 50 yards rushing, something
they
like that.
Bad.
A couple tutties.
They looked bad.
Get some confidence back. Get that swagger under Bill Belichick. And yeah, you save for later.
This is maybe the first time I've ever seen Cam Newton without confidence.
Yeah.
Like,
it's real.
The first 2 weeks of the season, he was like, man, I love to be here. And now, like, he
falls on
actually
him,
what's
you know?
Crazy is did you guys
he even
see,
said it after the game he's you, like this might be
did you guys see,
if I keep playing like this it's gonna be permanent
did you guys see the interview with the Niners coach
Kyle Shanahan
yeah
what a smart guy
before the game last week right against the Patriots
no I didn't
so he had an interview that he talked about how Belichick's offense was fake. Like, it was fake,
like
gimmick. It was like fake, intricate.
Yeah.
He's like, they have movement and stuff. They don't do like motion that much, but it's like they play positionless defense.
Yeah.
And about how it's a gimmick.
It's a sleight of
hand
type of thing.
And then he went and crushed him.
Well, Shanahan's one of the smartest guys in the game.
But you saw him crush the Patriots.
My point is he'll notice the weakness of any offensive
approach. But you saw him crush the Patriots with not his whole roster.
Yeah.
Might be close.
When you got a weakness, when you got a read on a player, it's just like a poker. When you got a read on somebody, you got to take advantage of it.
And then Belichick's like answer on like whatever Monday was about how they got outcoached. And they got outcoached.
No doubt.
Like, they got outcoached.
No doubt. But you're going to stick with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Falcons on top.
I get it. Because I don't know how anybody's going to have any money on the Patriots.
Unless you're a Patriots fan.
Or you're talking yourself into, Bill Belichick always beats the Bills. But this is a different year.
Yeah, you don't have the GOAT.
It's a different Bills team and it's a different Patriots
Josh Allen legitimately can win that game by himself. Like he might be the guy. I mean,
he's not going to win without getting any touchdowns he did last week.
Well, I mean, you're right about that.
So they
you're
can't
right
play
that.
Like they
you're
did right really that. The last 2 weeks. You know,
that's why. But the Jets are going to play people tougher than you think. They ain't going to win.
Let's move on. Rams, Los Angeles Rams at the Miami Dolphins. You've already taken the Dolphins, so that's not an option. I'm extra hesitant about the West Coast team in the 1 o'clock time slot, East Coast, yada, yada. I know. You hear it from me all the time. The Rams looked good this past week, but
the Rams look good every week, kind of.
Not every week.
They kind of have.
Last week, they looked pretty good.
They looked bad against who?
Didn't they play? I got to look at the roster to answer that question. Or in the schedule to answer that question.
What's the coach's name? Why am I blanking on that?
They look good against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They look good against the Eagles.
Everybody looked good against the Cowboys.
They look pretty good against the Bills, even though they lost.
That was the one game we didn't look great.
But they scored 32 points.
I get it. But those other two games you mentioned, it's hard to take give them a lot of credit because it was against
Dak was healthy then. You know, Cowboys were supposed to be good at the time. How good is Cowboys?
They started to come back a little late.
They beat the Cowboys by three is all, but like
they were up much bigger.
But yeah, it was like the late night, that was the first week that of football I was in Vegas.
Who was
and the Rams looked pretty good actually.
Who did they play after the Bills?
After the Bills were the Giants, 17-9. But they didn't really pretty much just like laid off.
Bad team at
the end of the game, just like they were like
It wasn't a blowout.
A pick six in your.
It's nice when you get to play the NFC East teams.
The clock, though.
You don't want to obviously throw it.
And then Rams, Washington.
Right. They played.
They won by 20.
Four of their wins are against NFC East.
They got beat by the Niners by eight. And then they beat the Bears this last week.
They look good, but also the Bears had no offense.
Yeah,
that punter consistently was pinning the Bears inside the five.
Five punts were inside
the ten. But it was incredible. The Bears really never had a chance.
Consistently
start that far back, they lost the field position game.
They can never flip the field. Yeah, yeah.
That punter's amazing. Did you see how he punts?
Yeah.
Where he drops it sideways. It's called a banana kick in Australian football.
Weird rugby. Yeah.
And what's crazy about it is that it wobbles a little in the air.
It's hard to catch.
But also, when it bounces, it very rarely bounces forward or backwards. So it doesn't usually go into the end zone.
It dies.
Or go back.
It dies.
It usually either dies or goes to the right or the left.
So frequently, if
he can pin it off to the side, it'll bounce right out of bounds. Inside,
it bounces out of bounds.
It was incredible. Yeah. He kind of broke the game this weekend.
Did he do a drop kick punt too this year or like offsides? I thought I saw a video Monday Night Football.
They showed a video of him like in practice doing like weird shit.
I think that they're gonna try to because then they
you might see that later on.
And like a hot side kick, it's tough.
But like the Rams,
it's
also a
playable thing from any position.
I would take the Rams to win this game. I like the Falcons more. Yeah.
What about Tua with his first start?
I don't trust that either. I like the Rams to win the game. I wouldn't take this for Survivor League.
Yeah.
Tua might go ball out.
Right, there's too many variables.
Yeah, yeah, just we don't know.
There's better options. So let's keep it rolling. Let's find those. Next we got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens.
This is the best game of the week.
Oh, yes. Appointment viewing. You've already taken the Ravens. So really the question is, will you consider the Steelers?
Oh.
I'm seeing it at +4 or +3.5.
I think the Steelers win.
Moneyline's +175.
I like that bet.
Yeah.
I think my odds for the Survivor League are not as good. My first Survivor League, there's way better picks.
Oh, yeah, there's no reason to take. There's really never a reason to take an underdog.
Yeah, yeah. The big point of that is, like, why would you take a tough game?
Mm-hmm.
We have all the best teams left, man. Like,
yeah, you got the hardship
other
out
than,
of
other than the Ravens, like, we have
avoiding division matchups is a real easy way to avoid the tough games.
Because,
like, division matchups, those teams know each other the best. They play twice a year.
I would totally put, like, a 20 spot on the Steelers.
A little something on the Steelers? They're undefeated for a reason. There's a couple
good.
Of times where they've just kind of held on to their wins. Like, the Titans almost came back and took it.
Yeah, okay.
But consistently, they haven't lost yet. They're battle-tested. Roethlisberger looks good. He's got a lot of weapons.
If they lose the game...
That defense
the,
is great.
With the plus number, they might back to recover anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But right. So taking the money line is cool. Taking the spread is probably a smart move there, too.
A little on the money line and a lot on the spread.
Yeah, like double the money on the spread.
So speaking of the Titans, they are at the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. And it's a weird line. Like, I don't love it. I've seen it at -5.5 and -6. And I feel like the odds makers might want me to bet the Titans. Like, they're trying to make it. They're trying to entice me.
Like, not.
I mean, I already got the Titans pick, though.
But if you would have asked me what this spread was, I would have said, like, 7.5 or 8.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're trying to trick me into playing. if I, what I've been thinking about all day is the Titans, right? The way they run the ball with Henry, he tends to beat up the defense a little and then have incredible second halves. So I feel like, and I mean, you see that in the score. It's reflected even just last week against the Steelers. I feel like we could make a lot of money if we just bet the Titans second half. Consistent.
That's a smart move.
That's right. Actually, yeah, I like that. That's, I like that play as well. I mean, like Derrick Henry running downhill at you, it's gonna.
Ideally, the Bengals have a 13-10 lead at halftime.
They also just traded a stalwart of their defense today.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
Like, I mean, the Titans are gonna. I feel like it's probably a safe. If you get it at 5.5 still. Probably a good play.
I mean, I'm not taking the Bengals for spiral league.
No, of course not.
But like, I do like the. I mean, like, I kind of have hopes for the Bengals because Zach Taylor, Husker quarterback.
Yeah.
There's some ties there, and also like.
I like Burrow, man. He's fun to watch.
I mean, Burrow's cool, man. Like Burrow's the guy that's smoking cigars and hanging out, like we are.
We should
real legit. We should have that dude on the show.
Add him to the list.
Boom, boom, check mark.
Put him right under Nas. Put him right under Nas on the list of potential guys.
Because we got Nas, we got Joe Burrow.
Nas is like my dream guy.
We got Ndamukong Suh.
Richie.
We got Richie.
Well, that's for your question.
But still, I mean.
Neil and I want cats that'll smoke a cigar with us.
I mean, right? So, I mean, I'm MJ, sure.
Jordan, Nas.
Barkley. You know.
Barkley would be a great one. Joe Burrow, you know, whoever.
Dick Vitale.
AJ Hawk.
Chad Johnson. Ocho Cinco.
Perfect. Right.
Like, he was here last week.
I heard. So, you're not, if you already took the Titans, you're not going to take the Bengals.
I'm not taking the Bengals. All right, let's keep it going. I'm not doing that.
The Las Vegas Raiders at the Cleveland Browns.
Man.
Raiders are +3. I don't understand that.
I don't think they corrected the line for Odell being gone.
Odell's gone, and Mayfield's a little beat up still, right? Yes, does he have fucked up ribs?
You know what might happen, though? You might see, mentions it a couple times on the podcast about Njoku, and like he's going to get more balls now.
Yeah.
He might be a slot receiver pretty soon.
And they did look, everybody's talking about it all week. It's not like this is breaking news, but they definitely looked better after Odell went out last week.
Yeah.
And the conversation behind that is, if you're forcing the ball to Odell, you're not in the flow of the game. We're going through your progressions and stuff like that.
You're not doing X's and O's. You're just throwing to one guy.
As a quarterback, like you have that guy, or an old quarterback, you have that guy to get you that ball. Like if you need that first down in 3rd and 15, something like that. If you need that big play or something. Yeah, obviously you're going to hone in on it.
You're going to force it.
You're going to force it on your guy.
They say that used to happen with Calvin Johnson.
But there's a relationship thing there, right?
T.O. Moss.
You keep going to the one guy who you know is great, and you're never really going through your progressions and in the flow of the game and taking advantage.
But in that same sense, right?
You're forcing it.
You know that guy's going to get open. Odell doesn't get open like that.
No, he doesn't have that speed like Tyreek does. He can just blow past you.
He's just a bad rubber. You can't round off your routes. He needs to be better about a couple of small things.
Well,
what he needs is Kevin Williams was the old receivers coach for Nebraska. And, like, he needs that guy to just, like, yo, you dummy. AB for the Buccaneers now runs great routes.
They said he looked great today.
And we saw a couple times in the last few weeks Tom Brady throwing an out route to God, whoever it was.
A sloppy router.
And like you if you run the route off, then that's how they pick sixes.
Yeah.
Because like the guy can get there before, right?
I'm not those.
But you but if you have a great route runner, Jerry Rice, right? Chris Carter, Randy Moss, all the best receivers in the league forever were like great route runners. And they like that's such a perfect.
It's always been what's great about Antonio Brown.
Yeah. He's a guy.
Not everything about Antonio Brown is great, but his route running is quite good.
On the field is awesome. The rest of things, let's move on.
You're not going to take the Raiders or the Browns.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I mean, the Raiders have been playing well, but, I mean, it could be a brand new Browns. It really could be a brand new Browns.
They're going to have to reevaluate their offense. They're going to have to go maybe more short game. More outs, double moves, floods,
Kareem Hunt,
Landry. Kareem Hunt, get him. Run a flood route with that. Kareem Hunt.
They have hit, two good tight ends.
7 yards a pop.
Yeah. I think Mayfield's gone this year.
Ooh. Also.
Where to?
Stop it.
Right here in Denver, Colorado.
Most likely, probably. Actually.
Let's keep it moving. You're not taking the Raiders or Browns, so let's keep it going. How about, can I interest you in some Indianapolis Colts at Detroit Lions? You've already taken the Colts. And that's too bad because I feel like this is a good spot. They're only -2.5. Some places have it at 3 already. But I just don't have a lot of faith in the Lions. It is in Detroit. So maybe that's why it's a little bit lower than a number. You think of a number than I expected.
Detroit is really bad, right?
Yeah, seemingly.
But the guy that keeps Detroit in games is Stafford.
Yeah.
Because if Stafford's on a good team, man, he's a great quarterback.
Sure.
I wouldn't take this game. Like, if you're going to bet on this game, take the fucking Lions money line. Just
a little bit. Yeah, maybe you go for that. I mean, you're right. Stafford can win you a game. He can lose you a game. Like, it's
Stafford at home is pretty good.
Pretty good.
You know how many games the Lions have won in the playoffs since 1955?
How many?
One.
That's horrible.
That is horrible.
What about T.Y. Hilton? I feel like he's been quiet all year.
Dude, he has had a terrible season.
He doesn't like Phil Rivers.
And, like, no. Maybe Phil Rivers can't give him the ball, bro. Like, he can't give him the ball.
You know me, man. I'm 100% on the get your Jacoby Brissett back in the game.
I agree with that, too.
This is ridiculous.
If Jacoby Brissett plays,
then I would definitely bet the Colts.
You know, like, the best player in the Colts offensively, the guy that I, like, really like for the Colts, like, fantasy league overall for his, like, future of his career, Jonathan Taylor is really good.
Yeah, you liked him even in Wisconsin? Wisconsin.
He's like Marshall Faulk, man. He can catch the ball. He can run. Give that guy 30 balls. That's
this 06 Madden cover. 03 Madden cover.
Dude, Marshall Faulk was a star. Curtis Martin, Marshall Faulk are the same guy. Yeah. And, like, Jonathan Taylor is that same guy.
No, I understand. Like, dude, the slot that has that power running and stuff like that. Like, it's
power running back that can go up the middle to the outside.
That could get you 7 yards off of, like,
Curtis Martin. I believe Curtis Martin was the first guy. Marshall Faulk was the first guy ever to have 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing in the same year. I think that Marshall Faulk was the first running back to have 100 catches in a year.
Yeah, I can see that.
Changed the position.
Changed the game.
Yeah, it really did change the game. And, like, Jonathan Taylor is the same kind of style guy. In the future, he might be, like, a Dane Tomlinson, like, superstar.
Yeah, he runs harder than Kamara and stuff like that when he's just, like, obviously using, like, the slots and stuff.
In 2 years, Jonathan Taylor might be the number one face pick. He might be the guy.
You heard it here first, guys.
I mean, I'm just saying.
It kind of depends on how that offense evolves.
I mean, he has to be the right squad.
Who's going
to
be the quarterback going forward? Are they going to go back to Jacoby Brissett after this Rivers experience? Are they going to have Baker Mayfield next year? Who knows, right?
But it might be like McCaffrey, Barkley, and JT as the top three picks in the league.
Yeah.
It's very reasonable to say that.
JT to be the new LT.
Yeah, it might be, man.
Let's keep it going because you're not going to take. Lions, obviously. So
I get 1 year lighter over there. Relit my I've been chatting too much and not. Yeah, I got you.
So, how about the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers?
I like this one a lot.
Traditional matchup, division rivals.
Division rivals like that. It's such a tough division.
Yeah, the Packers seem to have like. The bad game in Tampa, but other than that, they've been consistently solid all year.
And they show up
their
every
defense
year.
Is better than they've been in years.
Their division stats, like in the past 10 years, like have to be absurdly
I've seen
good.
It at both 6.5 and 7. Packers are the favorite.
I like the Packers a lot in this game, right? Rodgers coming off of, the Tampa Bay loss.
He's had a week or two to.
I mean, Washington. Last week he had a pretty good game, too.
Yeah.
But the Packers are probably the second best team in the NFC.
Maybe.
Maybe the first best team.
Yeah, they might be better.
The Bucs and Packers are the best teams in the NFC. The Vikings are played like trash. Like, is Cook healthy?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But they did have a bye last week, so maybe maybe he's come back. But
rested up.
It takes a while. It's a groin injury, I think, and it kind of like a strained groin. Isn't something you're playing next week?
You're a wide receiver. You are doing a 40-yard dash.
Well, he's a running back.
He's a running back. Yeah. Sorry, not
so like, but he's like going real hard for fucking 8 yards at a time.
Yeah,
and like when you're hitting the legs, and it's like when your fucking groin hurts, that's not fun, bro. Yeah.
And as a running back, you're doing you're starting 90% of the time from a still position. And then so you have to explode off of it as well. Is,
can he pass block?
He does these little chips that slows people down.
Yeah, but can he pass block with a groin injury?
I mean, if you're doing that, if you're doing the small, like I'm more worried block, about you should be able to run off that block to go be the safety release.
But I'm much more worried about him trying to shake somebody.
If I was the Vikings, I would probably try to put Dalvin Cook if I was pass blocking. To cut everybody. Because like, I don't want to like man up with everybody. With a groin injury, you're going to push it over.
That's actually, yeah.
I want to cut instead.
The only,
I don't think this is going to move for him.
The only concern I have...
Like you're in a bad spot here.
The only concern... I really love the Packers here. I mean, I very well may bet, especially if I can find it at 6.5 still.
Yeah.
My only concern is Devontae Adams has to play great. Because they don't really have a number two with Allen...
Lazard might be back.
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, maybe. Maybe. You're right.
There's a potential he might be back this week.
And then...
It's not like 100% at all, but there's like a variable.
And is Jones out too?
He didn't practice today, but he might play still.
He's hopeful.
But Devontae Adams played great this past week, so you gotta...
Dude, Devontae Adams made some catches that were like on bad balls, like crossing routes on bad balls.
He had almost 200 yards against the Texans.
I mean, his hands are awesome still, man. True. He's still good. And like... I'll take the Packers to leave the clubhouse.
For now?
Yeah.
Got it.
For sure.
Dig it. Let's keep it moving. Let's go to Kansas City. The Jets are in town. Play the Chiefs. I imagine this is the pick du jour. The pick of the week. Everybody's going to be on it.
This is the easiest survival league.
It opened at 21, and now it's at -19.5.
So this is the easiest survival league pick, right?
Everybody's saying that.
Like, legitimately, this is the easiest survival league.
Everybody's gonna take
the Chiefs if you didn't before.
True.
This is an easy pick, right? One of the moves is the Chiefs with the Broncos weeks also in Kansas City. And we just saw the Chiefs destroy the Broncos in a snow game. It's like
at their home turf.
You would think the Broncos have the best advantage they could possibly have in the snow, at home.
Mile high
city. And they got
snows
crushed.
Too,
and
bro.
They got, yeah, but they got crushed, though.
That has nothing to do with the snow. They got crushed because they're a bad team.
Yeah, but like they play the Broncos, the Chiefs with the Broncos in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it is, in Kansas City.
Yeah.
You might want to save Kansas City still.
I think a lot of people took the Chiefs against the Raiders and got knocked out.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, a lot. That
of the people left, I bet you some of them took the Chiefs against the Broncos, and therefore can't take them against the Jets.
Yeah, exactly.
But anybody who hasn't taken the Chiefs yet are likely taking the Chiefs.
I think the Packers is still the best pick to continue on if you can say the Chiefs for 2 weeks.
Yeah, if you're going for gold, like I could kind of.
I'm trying to win the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it. I get it.
Why burn
the Chiefs?
That's actually a quote thing from Major League, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, we might as well, all these sports writers, they were to eat a big shit sandwich. Well, we might as well just win the whole damn thing.
Is that when he pulls out the picture of the owner? And they take the pieces out? I figure we
every
need
time,
42
every time,
wins.
Every time we win, take one piece off. I think we can save the Chiefs for later still.
There you go.
The
Packers,
the Packers.
The Chiefs are the thong. The Packers are like the bra on that like analogy right there. You know, let's get the bra off, like, and then we're going to work on downstairs of that.
If we get past week 8, then we go. We have a couple easy picks for week 9.
Win.
And then we have, you know, week. I think 11 or 12 is kind of a tough matchup, but we can continue to take some of these good teams later on still.
Save them.
And, like, I'm legit trying for all the listeners to go fucking 17th straight.
Well, as long as
I might win before that.
You just got to win. Yeah.
But I might win before that.
You're still going to come out of the league?
I'm just
winning,
man.
But a winning 11?
I'm just going to win every damn week.
What you need, you know?
Yeah. I'm here to win every damn week, buddy. My whole plan. I might win next week. Who knows?
Speaking of the Broncos, how about the Chargers at the Broncos? It's only 3 points, which seems weird to me because the Chargers have been playing rather good.
Dude, the Chargers are really good.
But they keep losing the games.
Yeah,
they're playing well. The quarterback looks good. The defense looks good. And somehow they keep losing the games.
Actually, my guy Greg here for 2 years has been on the Justin Herbert Mike squad.
All right.
For real. Like, at Oregon, he's been the guy that's been like, yo, this guy's going to be awesome.
I made a lot of money off that dude.
Yeah, dude, he had a lot of bread. And, like, I was just following Greg. I was like, do you really love this motherfucker, apparently? I was just, like, following along. And I made a lot of bread, too.
The Chargers probably saw what I saw, you know?
And, like, I picked Herbert up just to hold him to my bench as nobody else could have it.
He's putting up numbers. He's putting up yards.
I'm also just shouting myself right now. I'm 7-0 with my face league.
Good shit.
Just say it.
Timmy Runs. So, Chargers or Broncos? Minus 3. Is it going to snow again? What's the weather like on Sunday?
I was with the Packers for Survivor League.
Yeah.
But I like the Chargers. Yeah. I like the Chargers a lot.
I think I've bet against the Broncos almost every week this season.
The Broncos are terrible.
They're really bad.
Sunday we're talking 51 and sunny.
Oh,
like,
perfect.
Man, we saw, coming out of a 60-degree Saturday. We're going to talk about a little bit of light. Yeah,
dude, we saw Drew Locke make the dumbest, like, childish quarterback mistakes, right? Instead of throwing a Noah Fant across the middle wide open, he wanted to hit deep balls, and they weren't accurate.
Shout out to my homie Raleigh, all right? I was watching the game with Raleigh. And not even a minute into the game, 30 seconds into the game, he looks over at me and he goes, we just blew it. And I was like, what are you talking about? We blew it. And he goes, we didn't even look if we could get an over under 2.5 interceptions on Drew Locke.
Oh, shit.
Because he, I think he had 3 or 4.
Three,
regardless, he is a bad quarterback.
I don't think he's bad.
But he doesn't have a team around him.
That's the thing is, though, too, as well. Like, to be a truly bad quarterback, like, you have to single-handedly make the wrong decision. Like, if your offensive line's not giving you a team, there's a lot of other factors.
You just said you don't think he's bad.
I don't think he's bad. I think that he's not prepared. I don't think that his coaching staff prepares him to play.
So he's just poorly coached?
Because, like,
he didn't look that good in Missouri.
But his reads are... Like, he missed the open guy, but it's probably his coaches are teaching him to read both deep guys. And, like, the first read is trying Noah Fant wide open in the middle.
Yeah, every play.
And he missed it. But he's probably taught wrong. It's not because he's, like, a bad quarterback. He's just coached poorly.
I can see that being the same thing, too.
I don't know.
No, like, there's not that. Like, there's plays that we used to run for instance, 787. It's like a really easy. It's a good read. It's a go route, a post, and a dip. There'd always be times my coach back 787 up top. Up top means shout out S.A. Tremaine, my guy.
You're looking up top. Exactly. Up top is you better sell that first.
You better pump fake it. If you get the safety, you're taught
the
to.
Bite, then you
if
go.
You're taught to. If you get the safety to stop and give one hesitation, your receiver should be better, and you should be that in tune with the receiver to just get that ball right over the top.
Because goal 7 routes are goals, right?
7's like back in the offense.
It's a fly.
It's
a
two or 2 or 10, whatever I've heard it. But a 2's a go. 7's like a post or skinny post, depending on the play. But regardless, you have two main reads, and you have a linebacker read and a safety read. And if your safety hesitates once, you are taught to third down and 3. You're taught to go.
You go 30 yards.
You go for it because you're supposed to have it. Like,
I think that Drew Locke is taught poorly because on that same 787 route, he should read covered and no offense wide open, and then he still goes deep. I just think that the coaching is poor.
I just think he sucks.
But he has a great arm. His talent level is high.
He has potential, though. But he reminds me of a Trubisky type
just
of person.
He just needed.
You always had an end.
Dude.
Trubisky.
You're kind of right, man.
Yeah, he reminds me of a Trubisky.
You're kind of right.
Okay, Bears have had the most quarterbacks in the league. They've had 55 quarterbacks in like 60 seasons.
I got two words for you.
What?
Career backup. Let's move on. New Orleans Saints at Chicago Bears. Bears got a great defense.
I like this also.
Don't have much of an offense.
I like the Saints.
The Saints haven't been they've been like winning and not covering consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all they gotta do is win for us.
Right? True. It's a survivor conversation. It's a 4-point spread.
I feel like the Packers before this. I just wouldn't take this. I already threw the Bears once.
Yeah, Bears are not
lucky as fuck.
They're playing with the horseshoe. Like, they're getting lucky. They're getting into the main points.
I don't think the Saints are as good as everybody.
Also, the Saints for the Broncos in a couple weeks, too.
True.
Thomas doesn't want to play.
Nope.
You know?
No, man, he punched a teammate.
Sure. He's injured. He punched a guy. He's not happy. Like, whatever the reason is, he's not on the field.
You're crumbling from the inside.
He's going to be back in a week or two.
Breeze isn't the Breeze of 5 years ago.
Breeze looks like he has noodle arm. Like, he can, like, can't throw more than 20 yards.
This defense could eat up a bad offense. This defense could expose a bad offense.
Khalil Mack could have a great day and, like, kill the Saints.
If they could just score, if the Bears could just score, like, 21 points, dude.
Love it.
Any game, they could probably win it. I remember when the Ravens literally just needed 14 points out of their offense, and they would take care of the
Man,
defense.
Man, the Bucs, too, in 0-1.
You're absolutely right. Well, like, the Bears are really good on D.
That's what I
mean. Really bad.
If they could,
really
if they could control some of the play clock on offense,
you have a
potential run of a team. Like, you have something that can, like, hold up. Yeah.
Coaching is terrible.
So with the whole coach, we're going to see off of the whole speculation to see if actually Big Dick Nick is getting more control of his plays.
Yeah.
And actually seeing that, if that was true, whatever.
Really
I don't. Well, again, we talked about earlier. I'm not going to. When I'm thinking about the Bears, I'm going to literally cut out last week's game. They consistently started inside the 10.
Yeah, you never.
They kept starting inside the 10.
You can't.
They really had no chance, man. They really had no chance.
Bad. Even on, like, the medium-range throws. Not just, like, where the starting position was. Just, like, the medium-range throws.
I mean,
and if you're behind and you got to go 90 yards, you got to make – you can't just go for –
And my point was starting way back there. Yes, you're behind the eight ball. You know, right? It takes forever to get anywhere. Or if you have to punt early, you're giving great field position.
You're giving
but the other problem – the other problem with that punt ending up inside the 10 is when that defense comes out onto the field – they are excited. They think, pick six, scoop six, safety, and they are excited.
Big time play.
And that's, like, you don't want to get the Bears defense or the Rams defense or any half-decent defense extra motivation.
Man,
and when they were consistently getting pinned in,
the biggest trouble with the
Bears
last
week, though.
But other than the field position thing, one of the problems with the Bears last week is, like, what kind of offensive coach is like, yo, we're gonna hand the ball off right to run into Aaron Donald every play.
Yeah. Well,
that's stupid.
It doesn't really matter what direction you run. Aaron Donald's always gonna be in your way.
Why would you run right at it?
No,
that's stupid. Like, why wouldn't you just span a line to block him off?
So you're
something different.
You're
like,
not taking the Saints.
Yeah, I'm not
You're not taking the Saints.
I'm just not doing
this game is I suspect the Saints cover, but I'm not honestly I'm not betting.
I think the Saints probably
think the Bears.
I'm just not doing
the Bears right. Could sneak up and steal with me.
Yeah, just not doing that.
How about we move on to the San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks.
God.
Niners plus 2.5, which seems low.
Huge.
But then again, the Seahawks didn't cover against the Cardinals last week. And that was three.
Man, that was a crazy-ass game.
Crazy end of the game.
Dude, Tyler Lockett had like 19 catches, right? 16, maybe.
It was incredible.
It wasn't. They won the game. The holding call on Lockett's would have been a touchdown
catch. I think
catch.
He had 15 catches for 200 yards.
It was something
that's
disgusting,
that's
right?
That's what this says right here.
So, like, disgusting. But he had a catch in overtime that he scored on, and they called it that holding call. But the holding call was, like, 4 yards behind him.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't important at all. The guy was just being a dumb. I think it was DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like,
what about that rundown on the interception? Oh, first off, Russell Wilson threw 3 interceptions last
year. Yeah.
That's, I don't expect that to happen again. Dude, I just don't.
Also, dude's name is Budda Baker.
Buddha Baker.
Well, I mean, I like Budda Baker.
Yeah. Budda Baker.
Buddha Baker.
That's Budda Nebraska. Baker.
But DK Metcalf showed some speed. I remember when, like, it's weird because I remember when everybody was raving about his body and when he was at the combine and stuff like that. And people would talk about his defense and say, well, really, he's a straight line runner. So he doesn't always cover routes really well.
But really?
he just turned that into a superpower.
Straight up.
In full pads, he was going 22 miles an hour.
You've seen DK as a really good route runner this whole year.
Yeah.
Like, he breaks up his routes well.
He's at the best points.
He's the best receiver, basically, like, war in the league right now. Well... Before last week.
He benefits from having Lockett also on the field.
I mean,
they can't double team him, you know?
And they're both deep threats.
Yeah.
So, like, and it's hard to, like,
put him on the opposite sides of the field, have one goal. Like, if you're running a deep route, 125, one go for the goal. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you put a little crossing in that as well, what you can do is literally, like I said, freezing that safety is everything on that ball.
That offense is good.
If you watch the Seahawks game, you'll see a lot of, like, deep posts from one guy and, like, a 15-yard less deep post from the other guy.
A little cross.
Then you see, like, that get open, though.
Exactly.
Because the safety has to make a choice.
And Russ is smart, right? Russ is smart as fuck, obviously, right?
Smart dude.
So, like, when they have blitzes on, then they max protect.
Yeah.
And they only have 2 routes.
Too bad their defense is fucking horrible this year.
Their secondary is just the worst.
Really bad.
It's so bad.
We would be talking about the Seahawks as one of the best NFC teams. If their defense was half good.
Dude, they still are.
I mean, I imagine they'll cover 2.5. It just seems low, and I wouldn't take this.
I think it's low
because the Niners are coming off a exciting win, and they don't have to worry about the Seahawks defense. So that running attack's going to be in charge.
The Niners' advantage in every game is that their coach is smart as fuck, man. Yeah. Like, he is good at the X and O's.
Again, I try to avoid division matchups and stuff.
I think that's a good golden rule.
The Packers are my go-to right now for so far. And against the Vikings, division matchup, like rivalry game kind of. But, I mean, classic rivalry.
My two favorite games are the last two to talk about.
All right, yeah.
Sunday night in the great city of Philadelphia, the Dallas Cowboys come to town. I've seen it at both 7 and 8. The Eagles are favorites. The reason I love this game is because people have been talking shit about Carson Wentz. And now he gets to show off against the worst defense I've ever seen in my entire life of watching NFL football.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty bad.
It's
a type of defense, like, you're not going to remember that, like, 10 years down the road. But, yeah, I mean, like... So it's hard to compete against.
Man, like the Jags in 2013 were maybe the worst team I've ever seen in my life.
Also, they're starting a quarterback named Ben DiNucci from James Madison.
Oh my god. Yikes.
I'm just saying. The Eagles, I mean, if I was still in the Survivor League, I would be considering the Eagles. Because they're going to win this game. Now, it's 7 or 8 points. I mean, that's a tough spread in the NFL. These are rivals. I get it. But, man, the Eagles are
a good pick for this Survivor League.
It's like for division matchups, it's like the Eagles, but being the Packers, like, of just their consistency, dominating at those divisional games. Like, that might be the one time you have to scratch that rule.
The Eagles probably win this game. That's a good pick.
The flip side is... Cowboys are going to be on that plane flying to Philly. They're going to be saying all the cliche shit. Like, nobody's giving us a chance.
We're going all the way to Philly.
We might as well win this thing.
They're going
to
be all filled up on cheese whiz. We got this fucking thing.
We're still in this NFC East thing.
They really are.
It's so bad.
So, that's funny.
I like Philadelphia a lot, but
I do too.
I don't know if I like
it. I like the Packers to win the games.
If it's -8, I don't think I'd bet it. At -7, I might, because I got a good chance.
I think that Philly to win the game is a good survivor pick.
Sure.
I still like the Packers as like a lock.
Over under 43.5. Love the under. Just saying.
Really?
Just saying. It's a low number. But
it's a pretty low number.
If the Cowboys have double digits, I'll be impressed.
I mean, the average score for NFL games all year have been about 50.
If the Cowboys get to double digits, I will be very impressed.
I think it might be a 35-10 game.
Maybe.
You might hit the over by a couple points.
I'm not. I mean, I probably won't bet the over-under. I do a lot of over-unders in the playoffs and, like, at the end of the season. Very rarely this early in the season.
I'm just saying, like, the average throughout the first 7 weeks is around 50.
Okay.
It's a little higher than usual.
Than usual, yeah. No preseason.
And like, it's kind of weird because, like, you would think no preseason, yeah, this might struggle too, but it hasn't been that way.
So, right now, you're rocking
with the Packers. Still, so yeah.
And Monday Night Football has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The angel of death, Tom Brady.
At the New York Giants. The Giants are pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Brady probably still holds a grudge about those two Super Bowls.
You know, I would say so. You know?
The spread is the Buccaneers -10.5.
I like that.
I think this is the time to pull out the pewter and put it all on the Buccos.
I really do think that this is the pick for this fight.
Yeah?
This is the move. The Buccaneers, this is the week to take them. The Buccaneers don't have an easy schedule left. It's not simple.
I mean,
it's not an easy move.
Two games against the Falcons. Forward.
But the Falcons are potentially offensively dangerous.
They have two games against the Panthers.
They played them once.
So one more game against the Panthers. One game against the Saints. I think
the Saints beat us once before.
Yeah.
We got the Panthers. We had a better pick before that, right? We won on the Survivor League then.
Yeah.
But this is the week to take the Bucs. We have some tough games coming up.
How the fuck did the Bears beat the Buccaneers a couple weeks ago?
Dude, baby.
The Bears are a team that
can't shut you down. Like,
that's why I like them against the Saints a little bit.
It's so hard to gauge them.
Exactly. So, and that's the thing, is they need to score 3 touchdowns to potentially hold the fucking game in their hands.
Yeah, to accommodate for the fact that their offense
exactly
struggles.
So
and
it's like
the outlier though. Like Khalil Mack might have 4 sacks and a forced fumble.
Ooh, I like
and
that.
A fumble recovery and a touchdown.
I like
and
those
interception.
Sacks, actually. If you get
I mean,
some
it might be wild. Like Khalil Mack is insane.
+1.5 sacks,
dude. You might have some crazy days.
Let's talk about the Bucs and the Giants.
Yes.
I don't see the Giants putting up much
of a fight at all.
Of a fight.
I think the Bucs win this game handily.
Yes.
I think this is the move for the Bucs for Survivor League.
And AB plays.
Oh, I'm taking I'm calling the score 35-13.
And Tom Brady loves AB.
Yes. He loves it.
And
he loves
actually I misspoke actually. AB loves Tom Brady.
Yeah, true that. That's
AB is like, oh, Tom, you're my hero. He's the guy. This is the week to take the Buccaneers.
Tom Brady's like that.
If you don't take the Bucs this week, you take the Bucs in week 16, which I'm going to win by then anyway. I'm just saying. Like, everybody's going to be out by then.
It's going to be a little different at the end of this year because there's only one bye on each conference, not two bye teams. So there's going to be more jockeying for position and maybe presumably less resting of players.
Yeah.
So it might be a little bit more of a competitive thing going on in the last couple of weeks than usual.
Like the easiest pick this week is the Chiefs, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Just to win the game.
So, I mean,
but the
I hear you.
Move,
you're taking the Bucs.
The Bucs are my move.
Yeah. Are you doing that solely because you want to save the Chiefs for a later week?
I think that this is the best move because of the scheduling for the Bucs. and like you take the Bucks this week, and then the Packers, the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Seahawks have better games, so I can get another 4 or 5 weeks of easy picks.
Okay,
I actually win one more time.
Yeah, but I say you've definitely gone through the thick of it. I would say so far, you know.
Yeah, I got most. I mean,
you're setting yourself up. Yeah, like, you're setting yourself up for the W.
I'm gonna take all the best squads at the end of the season.
I mean, my guy's got it at minus 12.
12?
Yeah.
And I'm still going to bet it. But for the record, Monday nights have been my bad night so far this fall. I've had a couple bad Mondays in a row. Now I've been able to salvage it by the end of the week. But you
see this thing too, right? It's like when the Steelers play Monday night, the Steelers win and cover. Historically, for 12 years.
Let's say Tom Brady is capable of doing the exact same.
I mean, that's what I'm getting to, is like Brady wins and covers on primetime.
I look at it like AB gets a touchdown, and the rest of the team just has to cover 5 points.
Yeah.
You know, that's really how I look at it. Drop
some balls. Like, Godwin has a broken finger. He might not play.
Godwin's probably not playing.
But whatever, we have Evans and Gronk and O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard's out for the season. But Brayton Gronk are still there.
Gronk was good.
And Scotty Miller's good.
Scotty Miller's a weapon. And then the backfield's looking, you know, it's deep. Between Rojo, Shady McCoy, and Leonard Fournette, you can. You know what I mean?
I don't think the Bucs have a competition in this game. I think it's a 20-point win, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is probably the best move to take the Bucs, because they're still going to get. I mean, the Falcons, you would think, are an easy win. Dangerous, man.
I'm so mad at COVID-19. I would be flying to New York for Monday night. Bucks, Giants, Monday night football, yeah, right? Oh, like, yeah. I would have gone out to Vegas for Bucks at Raiders. I would have gone to the game here for Bucks at Broncos. And then, you know, they're probably going to be playing in the Super Bowl in motherfucking Tampa, and I'd find a way to sneak into that shit because I can't afford those tickets.
We'll just go wear the fucking, like, the weird uniform thing. Like, all the old, you know, the old guys that went to, like, 25 Super Bowls in a row?
Yeah.
Right?
No idea what you're talking about.
It's called, like, the Super Bowl. They did a commercial.
So there's, like, 3 or 4 old guys that have been, like, 20 Super Bowls in a row. They missed less, like, now they're, like, 70. So they missed, like, the last 10. But they went to, like, 20 in a row. And they would just, like, walk in with, like, a ladder or some shit. And be, like, when they got questioned, they'd be, like, yeah, like, just talk to your boss, whatever, carrying, like, uniforms, all the same uniforms with a ladder or something.
We gotta fix one of the lights for the halftime show.
Yeah, some dumb shit. Yeah. And they would be like,
No time to talk!
Oh, well, I guess you're probably good. And they just would walk in. They went to, like, 20 in a row, though.
They snuck into 20 straight Super Bowls?
Yeah, I'll send you the article about that.
Yeah, actually. Please.
It's gonna be tough. Sure. It's gonna be tough to sneak into this year's Super Bowl. There's going to be a lot less fans, like, in the stands.
They just announced today 20%, 20% capacity.
20%.
20% capacity. It's at Raymond James in Tampa. All in pods, socially distanced pods.
Oh, there's no chance to get in there.
On the pirate ship?
A pod for the pod?
I want to
get the pod. A pod for the pod.
Yeah. Yeah. See what you did there.
Yeah.
On the pirate ship, though, I want to let the cannons off myself. That sounds awesome.
Dude. You're going to need to get a whole lot of listeners to the Nebraska Hour you can get your hands on the
game. Or you can just take your winnings off of all of your Survivor Leagues and just be like, I don't even want to see the game.
I just want to press a fucking button. I want to just jam, baby. That's
maybe
right.
They'll let you in on, like, a random Tuesday in June when there's nothing going on.
Hey,
we'll pop it up.
Maybe I need to, like, call Avante and Dominican Sue. Like, yo, remember me, dummies? They'd be like, who's this kid?
Have you ever been to a game at Raymond James?
Once, yeah, I've been once.
It's really cool. Yeah. It's really a cool setup. And
I've saw the Bucks play twice live.
Yeah.
Once in Raymond James and once in Kansas City.
So I've seen them a couple times in Tampa. It was, you know, 4-hour drive from Tallahassee, so I would go down as often as I could. And there was one time I went with this girl I dated. She was from Nashville, so she was a Titans fan, right? She was rocking the pink Vince Young jersey.
Ooh. That's pretty good, actually.
Right?
That's cool.
So everybody was like, boo, the Titans, but that jersey's pretty cool. everywhere. That's what you kept hearing. Well, we sat right in front of the canvas. You think so, until they scored the fourth touchdown of the day, and you had zero hearing whatsoever. Like, zero. It's, like, so deafening.
Oh, yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But it's also really cool that they have a pirate ship built into their motherfucking
Warren
football stadium.
Warren Sapp lived there for a while,
with
right?
With cannons. With cannons. Lived in Tampa, I would imagine.
No, not on the ship. He declared bankruptcy. Then I think he, like, put a tent up in the ship for a couple weeks.
He
came back pretty fast, man. But I'm just saying, like, I'm pretty sure he was there.
That's not NFL Network money, man.
Yeah, yeah, but his rumor before that job, though, I'm pretty sure he was, like, camping out in the pirate ship.
Oh, yeah. So one of my other, like, comedian or comedy podcasts, like The Watch, is, like, Two Bears, One Cave. And they're talking about trying to get a podcast with Warren Sapp. It's like these two comedians, Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura. And just Warren Sapp to go do this as well.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
he's just
yeah.
been fishing dude, off a boat, yeah, just yeah. diving in lobster. My man, no, he's literally been off the shore, just like fucking chilling.
Dude, Warren Sapp had this picture up on Instagram one time, like a year ago maybe, of this like tuna or whatever he caught. And he was like hanging onto the hook, and the fish is bigger than him. Yeah. And he's not small.
That's some Florida shit right there. Some, yeah, man. That deep sea fishing. Those marlin.
Dude, the tuna was Sword like fish. Fucking 400 pounds. Yeah. And he's like, hang on, motherfucker.
The
like,
boats,
hugging it.
The boats dude. They use to go catch those fish are incredible. They've got, like, four huge engines, and they've got pole holders all over,
dude,
and you kick it up top.
I want to do that shit. I want to do that shit. I want to catch a fucking 500-pound fish. That's
cool. It's, like, number four deadliest jobs in the world is being, like, a deep-sea fisherman.
Yeah,
really?
I'm pretty sure like I saw
like
saw a statistic or a meme.
Shit.
Yeah,
like
but like, all that shit ties
but
into
all
it.
All those dudes are on in deal with like ice and like polar fucking nonsense.
Yeah, but like
in Florida, they're like, who's gonna eat you? Bro?
What's
like,
the most? Fine. What's the most dangerous job?
Let's look this up.
I imagine. Let me guess. I think I got the top two in order. One, convenience store. Register worker. Because you get shot all the fucking time. Motherfuckers rob convenience stores all the time.
I don't know if that's going to make the list. But
the ice truckers.
Next
one.
Ooh, that's a good one. But the other one I think is pretty dangerous. Gangster rappers. They get shot all the fucking time,
yeah,
dude.
It's like a tax write-off, though. Like, you're supposed to get shot. You've seen The Sopranos. They pop a little cap right in your ass. Pussy's going to come up right behind you and give you a little kiss in
it
the
was
ass.
Supposed to be. It wasn't pussy. It was Bobby Bacala.
It was Bobby. Yeah, it
was supposed to be the fleshy part of the butt, and he got it in the leg.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I get you a little more street credit, buddy. You don't want to get shot in the ass as a rapper. I took a cap in the leg. You know?
I can't remember. Actually, If the guy that got shot was Tretch or the guy that he was signed to, the guy that I think it was Tretch from Naughty by Nature that he got that
yeah,
got shot.
I think it was that because he signed up. He's like, he goes up to him. He's like, I need this as a credit. But he's like, I don't want to know when it's gonna happen. Yeah. So he's just like, well, he's like, so you, and it's A, it's gotta look fucking authentic. And like, you know, like, don't sell yourself short.
He's
you
like,
know?
No worries, I'm a marksman.
Yeah.
I'm a pro marksman.
He's like, drop the caliber a little bit, you know, just get the ass. Like, we're gonna be good.
Oh, God.
That's so good. That's
I think,
so,
I think so, that episode is called The Fleshy Part of the Ass.
So,
I think so.
Smooth transition here, actually.
You got shot in the ass?
So there was a Husker receiver, number 27, Abdul Muhammad. In the 90s, like 95-ish, something like that.
I remember this guy.
He got shot in the ass.
Ouch.
And then the bullet was still in his ass his entire college career. Ooh. He was shot by the Panthers, I think. The Panthers' very first year ever.
Not the iron lung, the iron ass.
He had a bullet in his butt the whole time. So we call. I mean, the Husker fans had jokes about how fast he was. You know, because it's like, well,
he's got a little bit of lead weighing him down, you know?
He's heavy in the lead, baby. You know, he's got a little fucking.
So
if,
I do have.
If right he now. Was a little faster, he might not have gotten shot in the ass.
Abdul Muhammad, though, number 27.
Yeah.
So we have the world's most dangerous jobs.
Most dangerous jobs.
So, and I guess they're breaking them down by fatalities per 100,000.
That makes sense.
Number one, fishers and relating fishermen.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
100
that totally makes
deaths
sense.
In 100,000. So you are getting
1 in 1,000?
1%
of you
die. Yeah, so 1 in 1,000.
So you got a better chance, 1 in 1,000. 100 in 100,000, right?
Yeah.
So you have a better chance of dying as a fisherman than you do in getting a Yahtzee in one roll of five dice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fucking holy shit. Yes. Hey, what job? That's awesome.
What do you think the
1 in 1296 is Yahtzee?
The median annual wages for that position.
I would hope like it's 190.
$28,000.
Jesus.
Why do you
$28,000 for that? Number two is the logging workers. They're that makes 87.3 in 100,000. $38,000, dude.
Chainsaws.
You know, number three, just saying.
Chainsaws.
Number three is only when you make it six figures on. You're hitting the aircraft pilots and flight engineers. That's 51 per 100,000.
So pilots that, are dangerous but job?
It's like flight engineers. There's a lot of shit. You got to think of cargo. I'm sure like they're lumping in the grand aspect. Not a, that would mean 51 flights and 100,000 go down.
No, I mean plane accidents are more rare than car accidents.
But aircraft pilots.
Yeah, but they're including every like, other accident as far yeah. as like mechanical I'm sure things, like training things. Like
and, yeah. I have friends that are pilots, and now I'm worried
yeah.
about them.
Yeah, but then like, you probably then should you get be, down to bro. Number four, roofers. You're roofing.
Okay. Lots
dude,
of
dude. I was 18-year-old
hungover kids yeah. in the summer.
Dude, I was yeah. that guy.
I was a fucking roofer too.
I was that guy.
About 2 months, and I'm like, I'm selling weed. I'm done.
It was.
I imagine there's lots of broken legs. There's paralysis, and there's deaths, man. I bet
I was
you
working
bad.
For my buddy's one? Dad, Mike Trickler, in when I was like 17 years old, and I got paid really
Mike
good.
The Trick.
Mike Trickler. Mike Trickler. Yeah, yeah.
Only one out of the top 10 professions of the
what is wait a minute what does a roofer make?
Not
I think it's like 38.
Jeez,
not enough.
Pay the roofers more.
30. Well, I don't know. It's 38,000.
And the fishermen.
Fishermen as well. But yeah, dude,
what's
only
next?
One.
Keep what? No, keep going.
Okay, so then we have refuse, and recyclable material collectors.
Yeah, the garbage guys.
Garbage guys.
They get yeah. paid fat, though.
No, they get paid an average median annual wage of $36,000.
Do they ever get trapped in the truck?
Yeah, you got to think of, what's like, crazy freak accidents is, and shit. What, like, no, high insurance, like, no, shit that's in case.
Plus, they probably get weird diseases being
no,
around
no,
trash.
No, that's yeah. wild, though, because, like, so in, like, I don't know about Denver specifically, but in, like, L.A., San Francisco, New York, like, the trash dudes, they get paid, like, $90,000.
Yeah, but like that's you got to think of
but
it more.
Overall, median, collectively, country is like yeah. not close, you know. But like in the cities,
yeah, but
those guys get paid pretty well.
Yeah,
man.
What do you
like,
think the guy in Alliance makes?
Not a right. damn thing.
And that's what we're talking but about. It, we're talking about average.
So that's what I'm saying. It's skewed because, like, you know, yeah. like also the dude in Alliance, Nebraska, doesn't like do the same. It's not like he has his day is as long, man.
Yeah,
like he's like. His route is fucking...
It's still a shitty job.
I mean, it is. But, like, I was a plumber for a while, too, man. And, like, you went to a shitty job? Like, literally?
God,
bro.
You're making, like, dad jokes. You don't even have kids that you...
Dude. I got paid well as a plumber, though.
I'm sure.
All right, but fat, for bro, the rest of the top fat. 10,
what's
man,
next? Wait, what's
getting,
next?
Iron and steel workers.
Yeah, I can see that one.
They're making 52. They're the second highest yeah. paid in the top
you're
10.
You're framing out a skyscraper.
And
you make
you
a bad step.
Work
oh.
forever.
Oh, yeah,
that's fine. Fine. And your kids got work forever. Their kids got work forever.
But that probably includes the guys that are, like, making the beams
and that
in
shit
the factories,
melts.
Which is also like dangerous. It's like super hot metal.
Yes,
the way you're
yeah.
thinking of
it's not
runs...
just the installers.
Yeah, you're absolutely
it's
right.
just it's the iron workers overall.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not garbage men.
And there's
just
probably...
garbage men who are dying that often. I'm sure it's the yeah. guys who are fucking dealing it's, with junk yeah. removal.
Yes.
I'm sure
think about,
demolition's thrown in there.
Think about a steel beam falling and smashing your hand between another two beams.
See?
Like your hand fucked.
Yeah.
Fucked, right?
Pancake.
Like,
pancake hands.
Yeah, I imagine that it's a really dangerous job. What else
yeah,
you got?
Number seven seems like it's a stretch just because they start off as like drivers slash sales workers and truck drivers.
Yeah,
so
professional.
So you're going to throw so, in well, Ubers yeah. and all these crazy
No, but that's
yeah.
what they mean. Professional
yeah,
drivers.
Exactly.
Right.
So truck drivers. Well. And those are 27
yeah.
per 100,000, 37,000. But then you got to think of those truckers. Those guys are making much more than that. Especially if you're doing like the crazy fucking routes.
Yeah.
You
do you remember
well.
The truck driver for a long time? He made like $4 a mile. He would drive like 500 miles a day. He made $2,000 a day.
Yeah. So
he got paid fat as
and
fuck, man.
Go too, but like, and you got to also think of like, I mean, you have to have like certain level of cargo. You have to, I mean, there's probably a lot of like checks.
Well, I mean, like that, that's like
shit.
His gross income, but you think of his cost of having his own truck.
Yeah. His overhead's high.
Costs,
yeah.
You know, it's like different, but he made like $2,000, like gross $2,000 a day.
And then, you know, number eight's going to be, like, farmers, ranchers, and other agricultural...
Tractors. Tractors, dude.
Man, that shit is dangerous.
That shit's real, man.
Like tractors. A fucking industrial tractor? You got something
spots? Man. Or the one that does the harvesting, the reaper?
Yep.
The combine.
Shit, yeah, yeah, yeah. Man, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, no, I get it. Or a horse kicking you or a cow kicking you or some
dude,
shit.
You're dead.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get that.
A llama kicks you in the face, man. It's over.
Oh, fucking right. Yeah.
Mama.
It's over.
Llama?
Number 9.
Llamas? Goes that man.
Number 9 might be the funniest one, and it's kind of weird to say
gangster
funny
rapper?
After this. Not even in the top 10. Sorry to break your heart.
But it's probably like 12.
First line supervisors of landscaping, lawn service, and groundskeeping workers.
Man,
the supervisors?
There's a lot of blades.
Supervisors.
A lot of blades.
A lot of blades, yeah, but they're fucking Paquito. They're super small, man. They're going to cut you as well.
Man, but also, like, I mean, like, maybe some of their employees are pissed off. There's some, like,
it's probably
the supervisors?
They're probably pissed off at the supervisors. That's
what I'm talking about, man.
Like,
it was like
it's like maybe 1 in 100,000 are from like an actual fucking slit of the wrist or something. But then there are like 20 of them are gonna be like, that guy, like,
yo, you bitch.
Carlo came behind you and stabbed you in the neck right there and said, fuck you. I don't wanna do this no more.
You got this weed whacker was like, yo, bitch, how does this feel like?
I don't see it.
I don't really
what's
know.
What's
either.
Number 10?
Number 10 is gonna be electrical power line installers
in
Paris.
Oh, yeah.
How is that not higher than fucking a groundskeeper?
I imagine every time I look up at it and see a telephone pole, I imagine somebody getting electrocuted and falling off of it.
I bet it's not even that. I bet it's mainly going to be from them fucking falling down. They still have to, like, free climb that. They're not bringing out cranes and shit.
Pegs, man.
Yeah,
or teetering and falling out of the cherry pit.
You got squirrels up there, man. So, squirrels are assholes. They're going to come get off my turf.
Squirrels,
get you. Goddamn squirrels get you. If a squirrel gets me, don't even bury me. Just throw me in a dumpster and have the dumpster man die from fucking throwing me in there.
No, I'm going to call the trash guy.
I'm going to add to this statistic.
I'm going to call the trash guy that's also in danger.
Oh, yeah. We're just going to get all top 10 professions, and then you're going to throw me on a flight. That's going to go down, you know. We're going to have a perfect design.
I'm going to have the trash guy pack you up and put you on the flight in the trash can.
No. I'm going to pretend that you're still alive. I'm going to record gangster rap album, and then I'm gonna fake shoot you.
Oh.
It's a self album, you know?
Now you're just building clout, man.
I don't know if I think you got, you know, the best aim you may have had back in the day, but I don't know if you're a true marksman on that.
Don't worry, you'll be
actually,
dead.
Actually,
you'll already be dead. I just need to put a hole in it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Do whatever. There's like Louis C.K. has a good bit about that. He's just like, I want to start a service for, like, because when I die, you can come by my body. And do whatever the fuck you need to do. Like, whatever it is, your thing you need to do. Not come.
So actually,
like, I mean, maybe it's that thing too.
I mean, like,
I'm a waste
bro,
of space.
Yikes.
I'm a waste of space. But it's like, if you got a sick
this conversation just got real weird.
Yeah.
Big left turn.
I could just throw you off the roof onto an iron stake, and then we get involved. And like, then,
yeah, that counts as a steel worker and a roofer.
Yeah, we could just combo.
And we could call you the supervisor so that it also
and
counts.
And then we just put the iron sink inside the garbage can.
Yeah.
We get all three
then
combos.
We'll give Timmy a rat name and, you know, throw him in. We'll
dude,
bump up
I mean, the Zen Mask. I have enough nicknames already, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really
we'll
know.
We'll just
throw one
Zen
out
Zen Master
there,
Timmy.
Timmy two times.
Timmy two times.
Two times. I mean, two times.
What? Let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
What are you guys' thoughts on this cigar we smoked?
I like it, man. I do. I like it a lot.
I loved it. I like the, it's, like I said, like, definitely the finish on it's nice, too. Doesn't get it too harsh. Nice and, like, I think blonde. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of, like, you would want it with, like, a nice cup of coffee. Maybe, like, cream, sugar, some stuff like that, you know? You know, the blonde beer and stuff. It seems light. It's enjoyable. Smoked great.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird listening to a guy talk about this when I think that he has fucking pantyhose on.
Yeah.
His socks.
I'll just pull it up.
I'm not sure that they're.
He used to play for the Pirates. He wears those high socks.
Absolutely, man.
No, but they're not the same. I mean, they're like see-through. I can't take him seriously anymore. I just can't.
They got the listeners.
I think it's interesting that how they kind of did two different things that you wouldn't usually combine. What I'm saying is there's a lot of cigars upstairs, and they're kind of – you're almost seeing them run out of new things, right?
Yeah, follow
and
trends.
To be able to do something that's unique and stand out and tastes great and smokes great and everything, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I would definitely smoke more of these. I've never had one before just now.
This might be my new favorite.
It's certainly great.
I tried on the podcast.
If I have friends that don't usually smoke cigars, this would be a good one to hand to them.
And you could also probably hand this to somebody who is like tried and true in the cigar world. And look, be like,
and they would still appreciate
it. They're going to understand that complexity, that volcanic ash. They're going to be able to pull out those differences. It's, it's like a, not a house wine or something like that, but it's like a good like $60 bottle at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Go and you ask your server, like, what's good? I'm just like, well, he's like, I got you. Yeah. He drinks that shit all the time. Yeah. He's gonna be like, I know what's good. I know what's going to hit right.
And
not going to break the bank, you know?
The Romeo y Julieta 1875 Connecticut, Nicaragua.
I dig it, though. Yeah, I dig it. Pretty good. I need to take the wrapper off to finish it still, but I do dig it.
And if you're in Denver, you should go to Capital Cigar.
919 East Colfax Avenue.
Exactly.
The spot to be.
We record this.
You're going to see all of us dummies here probably.
All day playing cards or whatever.
We record this on the studio level.
True. We might be hiding down here. You know?
You find this cigar, the Romeo y Julieta, 1875 Connecticut, Nicaragua, on the main level in the humidor.
In the humidor.
The greatest and best stocked and largest and all those things of all the humidors in Colorado.
Done right.
No doubt.
It is the best cigar lounge in Denver by a long way.
I've been to
a decent amount of cigar bars in the city here, and like by far, man, y'all have the best spot.
Cornelius has
he's the man.
He's really man. Really got a great thing going here, and we appreciate him. And if you're in Denver, come through, buy some cigars, all that stuff. Especially, we're going to be locked down again.
Yeah.
Load up on good cigars beforehand.
Like, man, that's kind of weird, too.
We don't need to get into that conversation. On that note, we will say goodbye, and we will talk to you later. And the Nebraska Hour will be out Tomorrow morning, I guess, if you're listening to this Thursday. You know what I mean.
We're jamming.
Hour will be out Friday morning with the two of you guys.
Yes, sir.
I got the two stars of the show here with me. I appreciate you guys joining me. I listened back, and I thought the first episode went pretty good, and I enjoyed it. I'm very intrigued in where it evolves to and everything, and I'm excited to see what you guys do with it.
Absolutely.
If you have free time tomorrow, if you want to come join us,
join us.
Thanks. This should be a fun time. We have a lot to talk about.
We'll be drinking Jack Daniels.
We have COVID.
Hoosiers upset
there. We have a Hoosier upset to talk about. We have a Husker cancellation. We have a World Series.
Huge Dodgers coverage. Dodgers coverage. Lots of Big Ten business.
We have a lot going on tomorrow.
So I would say tomorrow is going to be, or when you listen to the Nebraska.
Yeah, it'll be Friday.
Will be the grand opening. I've heard we've got a soft opening. We are going to be ready.
Now we have a real move.
There you go.
We got a real move.
I think it's going to be a great episode. And yeah, thank you for having us.
Dig it, man. Appreciate you guys. Shout out to Cornelius. We'll talk to you when we talk to you. And hope you guys all have a fantastic rest of your week. We will talk to you next time. That was another episode of Bet Your Ash. Thank you all for listening, and thank you to Timmy Nebraska for joining us once again. Thank you to Connor, because none of this would sound even half as good if it wasn't for him. Thank you to Tyler. Thank you to Binsky. And thank you to Stephen Hobbs, because none of this would be happening if it wasn't for you. Bet Your Ash is recorded on the studio level of Capital Cigars, 919 East Colfax Ave in Denver, Colorado. And everybody listening should go to onelogfire.com and order some Chiminayas, and at checkout, put in the promo code BETYOURASH, all one word, and you'll get 10% off your order. Also, we're on the social medias. It's at BetYourAshPod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you all. We'll talk to you next week.
Boost Mobile tiene una gran oferta para que aproveches tu reembolso de impuestos al máximo y te mantengas conectado. Al cambiarte a Boost, recibe un 50% de descuento en tu primer mes de datos ilimitados. O, con un plan ilimitado de $40, llévate un Samsung Galaxy A15 5G por $39.99. Obtén los mejores teléfonos en las redes 5G más grandes del país. Con Boost Mobile, cambiarse es fácil. Solo visita BoostMobile.com. Boost Mobile, sin miedo al éxito. Para clientes nuevos y solamente en línea, requiere AutoPay. 50% de descuento en el primer mes requiere un plan de $25 al mes. Aplican otras restricciones. Visita Boost Mobile. travel.com para detalles.